It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than not knowing who's been... All right, stifle it. You talk too much. Not knowing who's been sleeping in your bed. That's what Davin's Den is better. Not knowing who's been sleeping in your bed.
Yes, it is.
You could join... Nah, I should delete that. All right, that won't be in the final edit. Anyway. Davin's Den with Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Good, Joe. And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. And I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. On the show, School of Fools and Diploma Denied over dancing. We will tell you what hot betting is. And what would you do if you had a wedding and nobody was bringing presents? And scamming scammers with Elon Musk. Let's get everybody good? Everybody's happy?
Yeah. Good. Everything's good.
All right. Let's get into it with some School of Fools here.
School of Fools.
All right. So I had it queued up, but it's not there. So I will, I guess I'll tell you guys what happened. So in Philadelphia, they had a rule. It was graduation in Philadelphia at an all-girls school, and the principal said that if anybody cheered for you, you wouldn't get your diploma. So, like, all the family members were told, don't cheer for your kids, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
So everybody was cognizant of that. And so what happened was a couple of the girls, like, did some sort of dance thing. And not her family, but, like, other people laughed. So the girl, like, does this across the stage just a little bit and then gets to the principal who's going to give her the diploma, and the principal gives her the Heisman. Just gives her the stiff arm, like, nope, no diploma for you.
Wow.
So this – and, like, one of the girls, like, didn't make a fuss or anything and went back to her seat and was crying because she didn't want to ruin it.
Right.
For everybody else. Another girl was dedicating this graduation to her late sister, who was shot and killed by a stray bullet when she was 15 years old.
Wow.
So these kids, their day, was their graduation day,
yeah,
was ruined over this. And the mothers were upset. It's like, you know, these kids have been through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids have been through so much.
Yeah.
And the school district is like, no. This is not what we stand for. A kid should not be denied their diploma because people are cheering for that kid at graduation. And they said they are going to investigate it. So
it just seems ridiculous that somebody is going to say, you know what, you're not allowed to celebrate in any way. I mean, I know that, you know, those little breaks to, like, cheer the kids or whatever makes it drag out a little bit, but I mean, really, what kind of graduating class do they have? Thousands? Just let them have a second.
Isn't the graduation about the kids?
Yes, and about celebrating their achievements.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, look, why are you sucking the joy out of this?
Joy suck.
Very good, as I would say.
What do you think, Joe?
The principal is out of hand on this. I mean, I just see the video. The girl did a little dance. I mean, just celebrating. And for her to issue a statement to the parents that they can't celebrate or, you know, whistle at your children's graduation. And number three, it's a private school. These parents paid money for the kids to be at this school. So you're telling me, after I paid you all this money and my daughter is graduating, I have to sit there like I'm listening to a eulogy and she can't make a small little dance while she's getting a diploma? That's out of hand. The principal should be written up or she should be let go. I think she should be written up. Well, you know what? Written up and a formal
Well, it says that the assistant superintendent is calling the parents to issue the apology. And apparently this principal didn't even stay after the ceremony. Apparently this principal just hightailed it out of there.
And she should. She was wrong for what she did. And it's the way they tell the parents. Well, I was saying, I told the parents that they can't, cheer or anything like that. So why are we here? Why are we here? You could have mailed the thing.
That's actually an excellent point. If the kids aren't there to get their kudos and congratulations and have their loved ones whooping and hollering for them, Joe's right. Then what do we need to do this ceremony for? For everybody to get dressed up? We don't need that.
Yeah.
You just mail it. It's the same thing then. You're absolutely right, Joe.
Yeah.
And Messi, that's her last name, had warned the – oh, you're warning me. You're warning us? Warned the families of her students prior to the ceremony – that cheering and clapping while their loved ones walked across the stage was forbidden at the graduation. You're kidding me. And somebody, and this young lady, just made this little damn wasn't a big deal, and she wouldn't hand. I'm on the fence whether she should be suspended or fired.
If I was a parent,
I would. If I saw this, I would have called her up and go, this is I paid for this. This is a major event in my daughter's life and our lives. And you're saying that we can't celebrate? You're out of line. And if I knew this prior, I never would have sent my kid here.
Well, they probably would have because it's Philadelphia, so maybe the public schools aren't what they were hoping for.
Right.
So they probably. But what's weird is the assistant principal even instructed students to walk to get their degrees with style to collect their degree.
With style, so,
yeah.
But not dancing.
But like this kid, like Joe said, there really wasn't much of a dance.
No.
Now, one of the parents seems to think that her family was targeted due to racism. Abdul Rahman says, because other girls blew kisses and waved as they walked the stage, but nothing happened to them. So her daughter did like a little shuffle sort of thing. And it was a fine shuffle.
But I think there were plenty of minority women there. And you know what? The young lady made a production out of it. You know what? Just go up and get your diploma. She didn't. She worked hard. She's graduating. She wants that. She's made an achievement. She just did a little gesticulation getting the diploma, and you don't hand it to her? I don't know. I think she should be fired. I mean, that's almost a fireable offense to me.
You know what's weird? These kids are being held accountable for what the audience does.
That's crazy.
It's like, well, if they, so like theoretically, if you have a feud with somebody's family, for instance,
yeah,
and like, so now this girl's about to walk, and this girl has been tormenting your daughter. Now you're gonna cheer.
So she doesn't get her diploma.
It's not personal responsibility.
No, it's incredibly petty. This is like the chief wet blanket of the school. What is wrong with these people?
I think
you can make the argument, well, we want the ceremony wrapped up in a certain amount of time. So, you know, with the, you know, people clapping and, you know, cheering them on, it takes a little extra time. Then you know what? Make the ceremony longer. You know, I mean, these kids earned this. You know, the families paid for this. Mm-hmm. This is a special moment, and for you to sit there, to walk like when you're done reading a eulogy at a funeral, you know, with that kind of cadence and silence. That's what you're expecting at a graduation. It's somebody with an agenda in their own mind that is out of hand. I would be torn if I'm going to suspend her or if I'm going to fire her.
I say suspend. We don't have to end the career, but certainly a black mark. I don't remember my graduation.
I don't think I remember mine either.
So I guess it wasn't so life-changing.
I didn't go because I'd rather work that day.
It's funny. We all just pontificated about what a life-changing event this is, how important. Go, yeah,
we can't remember.
Listen to me. As looking at the eyes of a 61-year-old man, it is, as a stupid 18-year-old kid that just wanted to go to work, I broke my mother's heart, and I couldn't understand why, because she specifically stayed in that house to raise me there, and the least she wanted to see was me graduate. So I felt bad. I felt bad. I was a stupid kid.
All right. When we come back, hot bedding.
This is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we were back. You're listening to Davin's, and Pip was enjoying that.
Yeah, it was good.
Enjoying that little skater music right there. Glad you enjoyed that, Pip. All right, this is something I never heard of before. It is called hot bedding. Hot bedding. So it's for people who are able to detach emotionally and sleep next to another person in a completely respectful and non-strings-attached manner. I can't. I won't. Monique Jeremiah, 36, an entrepreneur from Queensland, Australia, told Caters News. By the way, she was cute, so it's all right if you're cute, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You see me coming at you, thank you, no.
It's like, then just I'll label it, get in bed with a monster.
Yeah, I'll sleep on the floor in the living room, thank you. Welcoming strangers into her bed every night has become profitable practice for one sexy singleton who tucks in an extra $600 a month by renting out the unoccupied side of her mattress where her ex-boyfriend once slept for years. That's where the naughty stuff happened.
Yeah.
Really.
And while hot bedding has yet to achieve viral glory on social media, a popular TikTok clip, which garnered over 762,000 views, detailed the monetary benefits as well as the potential dangers. But Jeremiah says the trend can be extremely lucrative, a lucrative move, as long as both parties are clear on the terms. Yes, that, you know, listen, Mr. Serial Killer, you can't hack me up. You're here to get a good night's rest and then go to the next place and hack them up because we have an understanding.
Yeah, you know, and look, Mr. Sex Pervert.
I'm looking.
Yeah, look, you know, we have to have an agreement here. No touchy touchy.
Nope, here's the agreement. I get most of the I get half the bed, you get most of the trunk.
Most of the trunk?
Trunk? Oh god, he's gonna put them in the trunk.
Right. You know what I would do that well anyway.
Wait a minute, you can't just start that and let it go. No.
It takes two people who respect each other's space. Well, there's one of them who doesn't. Values and boundaries to do not hot bedding. It is just like sharing a room with two beds. No! No, it's not.
No, it's not.
And that's intimate, too. However, you only sleep in the same bed together, so you definitely want a big bed and lots of space in the room to make it worth it. I have a twin with Star Wars sheets, and I have one 23-year-old pillow. I would love if you would love to share it with me. I'll be pressed up against the cold wall. You can have the outside.
And let me tell you something. I could use the real-world example. Davin and I go on tour, okay? We have to share the same room. And there's a double bed, that's fine. If there's a single bed, I'm sleeping on the floor.
No, hold on. A double bed? No, you mean two beds, right?
Two beds, two
okay,
beds.
Okay,
okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, double I phrased that wrong.
Yeah,
double bed, because you might be fine, but guess who's sleeping in the car to make sure nobody steals it? That guy.
Yeah, right.
Jeremiah, the founder of Diversity Models, an agency that specializes in providing curvy, cultural, mature age models for business, began leasing out her boudoir at the onset of COVID. So she was lonely and she needed a way to make money. So she can raise it. Hot bedding raises like $160 a week or $640 a month. So the cost of living is going up, so she might raise that a little bit. Listen, I know it's a way to save money. I got to be honest with you. I don't even like these. They had couch surfing as a thing where right. You could sleep on somebody's couch. My buddy Dennis, may he rest in peace, used to do that. Thank you, no. Thank you, no. They have Airbnbs where the people are still there and like you get a room in their house.
Thank you, no.
Thank you, no. None of this. None of this. I would rather sleep in my car in a rest area.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
With me, sugar substitute farting away.
Just the price of the bed. Do you get to take a shower in the morning?
Yes. Yes, that's what she said. You get the shower. It's a nice room. She said there's a balcony. You can watch TV. Excuse me, I'd like to watch something adult. You don't mind. I'm doing it on my side of the bed. Turn away!
But this just
that's just creepy.
It is creepy. You have a complete stranger in bed with you.
Well, they won't be a stranger by the end of the night, dear.
Yeah, I know. But
like,
that's
what
the
do you put up like the pillow fortress? I would totally put up the pillow fortress. And like, you have to go over Snorri. Can you imagine? I lie to you. You know, I'll give you the fee. I unpack my stuff. Everything's looking good. I'm a perfect gentleman. And then right as it's bedtime, I hook on my CPAP device, and you gotta listen to me, just
Darth Vader.
That's the risk you take.
Well, you know, this isn't a new thing, though.
Hot bedding is not a new thing.
Well, I mean, being called such, but I mean, years ago, travelers in like Europe and stuff, that they would have rooms over taverns, and there might not necessarily be one to a bed. They would rent you a room. You might have to share a bed with somebody else.
Well, those were clean times. There was no plague or anything.
No problem at all.
But hygiene was perfect. That's where the phrase strange bedfellows came from.
Yes. And
so, and that's also where the phrase missing persons came from.
That's where the phrase gonorrhea came from.
Oh,
sorry.
Leave your ancestors out of this. The gonorrhea helixes, a proud clan from Ireland, infecting their way as they ran from the potato famine.
A beautiful hyphenated family.
Ah, my shillelagh will get you infected with it.
Sure enough.
Is that a lucky charm? Not for you, Lassie.
Certainly was not.
No, there's not. No, I can't do this. Listen, I share a room with Joe, and neither one of us is thrilled about it. That's why I try to get a separate room, which usually happens. Now, a lot of comics are fine with sharing rooms. I don't want to.
No, I mean, people's like bedtime rituals and their personal, it's like their grooming habits, their personal little routines and stuff. You don't want to have anything to do with that. It's bad enough that when you're married, you have to deal with your person.
Can you imagine this? Yeah. You're a dude. This hot girl decides that she's going to do it. Like,
yeah.
Yes. This is, not that you're going to do anything unpleasant or anything.
Right. But you're then, just like, oh.
Then she comes out of the bathroom with all that cold cream like on her, and her hair and curls like 1960s Edith. Son of a gun!
She's covered in Bengay and that whiff.
Like, I don't even know. I would have to put like no as a CPAP machine. Is that what it's called?
A CPAP machine.
Yeah, I'd have to put like no CPAP, no snoring. How do you know?
No, there's so much that can go wrong.
No cold tootsies. Like you have to cut your toenails because you're sleeping. And she's like, oh, it's a queen size bed. That's not that big. I got a California king. I think there has to be a California king because theoretically the bed is so big you can be in different rooms.
Yes, absolutely.
Now what happens if you come in and you just had a big bag of Taco Bell and it's time to go to sleep? And you pretty much hope the other partner in bed is a skunk because that's the only person that would be a fan of what's going to happen.
Well, some people like a musical accompaniment as they sleep.
Yeah.
Who brought in the horn section?
Yeah, really? Well, that's where a CPAP comes in handy because you can't smell anything with that.
But yeah, I mean, but even like body odor.
Yeah, you have people that aren't clean getting into your sheets. No, and I'm sorry, but what about like bed bugs or scabies or any of these?
Oh, they don't mind, dear.
No, they're not worried.
No, they're fine.
No, you know, but there's too much. And what if somebody gets inappropriate? What are you supposed to do?
Listen, I will vow. I will if I ever do hot bedding. I will not get it inappropriate with the person sharing the bed. However, I can't vow I won't get inappropriate with myself.
Oh, that's even another thing.
What?
What if all of a sudden the bed starts moving?
My side of the bed.
Yeah.
My side. I'm
happy. But the next morning, and I go, I had a dream last night that I was next to somebody that was like it was a well and they were pumping water.
No, that would just be like, oh, very uncomfortable.
Just gotta brush my teeth.
Just very uncomfortable. Oh, no.
All right. Well, so we are all no on hot bedding.
Yeah.
When we come back.
No! Definitely.
When we come back, what would you do if people weren't giving gifts at your wedding?
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We'll be right back.
are back, and Pip is really rocking out to the tunes tonight. That's good. All right, so this was a story on Reddit, and I think it's a lot. I think it's something that's worth bringing up because obviously I'm bringing it up. One bride to be has recently asked for advice online, which is the best place to get advice. After realizing her fiance has a vastly different perspective to her in regards of wedding gifts and how important that is for guests to bring them. My partner and I recently became engaged. We plan on having about 40 guests. Got off light, sweetie. Mostly from his side, as I only have one living relative, whereas he comes from a large family. Well, anybody more than one is large to you.
Yeah, really.
The woman then explains that she set up a wedding website featuring a registry and a wish list to offer gift inspiration for guests. The wish lists contain a range of household items, all priced at under $80. The cheapest item, ceramic measuring spoons, was priced at $25, while the most expensive, a porcelain dinner set, was $75. That is really cheap for a dinner
That's
set.
That's really cheap.
Yeah, really.
Apparently she went to she registered at the dollar store.
Perhaps.
She then asked her partner to review the website, but he told her that his extended family members probably won't give them wedding gifts. He said that at most we might get a bottle of wine from somebody, but she doesn't drink alcohol, but that we would not get anything from his aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. So doing a registry is a bit much, given nobody's going to look at it. Pip looks mortified.
I am.
In total shock, she explained that she thinks it's the height of bad manners to attend a party, wedding, birthday, and not bring a gift of some sort. I cannot imagine going to an event someone has organized for me, eating three-course meal they've paid for, dancing to a DJ they've paid for, drinking the drinks they've paid for, and not even bothering to buy them a $25 kettle. Is that like, what is kettle? Is that
tea kettle.
Oh, okay. I think it's extremely entitled and lacking in any class. She then told her partner that she would find it deeply disrespectful if the family did indeed come to the wedding without gifts and would sour the whole event. Sour, I say!
Ruin the wedding!
As opposed to being married to these, you know, this is now your family. That'll be fine, but today's going to be a bad part that I can't look past. She suggested that they be uninvited preemptively to save herself the disappointment of the big day. So I guess the invitations hadn't gone out.
I guess.
Sure. I told him that if any of his relatives could not be bothered to bring a gift to the wedding, then I would rather they not attend at all. I'm not happy paying to entertain someone who can't even show the good manners to offer a token thank you. I got you dry chicken, damn it. Dry chicken!
Bad DJ!
And a host of drunk comics to tell jokes. Are you not entertained?
Oh, God. Are you not mortified?
Are you not mortified? Yes. No, they were. Anyway, she later clarified that it's not about the gifts. We have a perfectly fine toaster. But it's the principle of showing thanks for time, money, and effort spent on giving everyone a good time. Nah, it's a little bit about the gifts, let's be honest. Her partner thinks she's overreacting and turning into a diva bride who gets her idea of what weddings look like from social media. $75 for a dinner set? Who are we, the Rockefellers?
$25 on some spoons?
It's not good China. It's good Taiwan.
It's good Taiwan. Nice.
Some users thought she needs a hefty reality check. One person bluntly wrote, you're the a-hole in this situation. You're not spending that money on them. You're spending it on your wedding. Are you getting married for the gift? Yes. Or for the man you have chosen to spend the rest of your life with. How do you think it will affect the future relationship with his family if you pull this entitled stunt literally out of the gates of the marriage? You have chosen this to be your hill, and I fear that you will not make it out. You are celebrating your union, not collecting an entrance fee. But we do have a doorman. Someone else added, it may be disappointing should people choose not to give a token gift, but please don't keep score and turn into ridiculous. I'm a woman! That's what I do! No one is actively plotting to disrespect you. So that was the gist. Although some people said, why blow your relationship with this whole family? And then somebody else said, you're not the a-hole because you're not fussing about the value of the gifts, just the fact that they are not bringing one at all. Who doesn't give a gift at the wedding? This guy's family. You're not a diva for expecting a wedding gift from guests, especially as you have created a list of very price-accessible things. I've always felt an obligation that if I attend, I have to give something. Unless it's known that I'm very – if everybody knows I'm down on my luck, I've been fired and I don't have money and I'm a close friend – you might get it. But if the whole mishpacha, the family, shows up and goes, well, thank you. Thank you for the chicken and the champagne toast and the DJ who played the chicken dance. We're going to eat and go and give nothing. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. But the thing about it is, if it's a certain culture and certain cultures in the tradition.
Joe, we don't know if they're Scottish or not.
Well, speaking of which, I went to a wedding one time, and I pulled a couple of 20s out of the envelope. So I've done it more than twice.
Oh, wait a second. Well, the wedding did not meet your standards. You're like, thank you. No, I'll be taking some of this money back.
Yeah, because you leave the wallet open. You leave the envelope open. So if you go and it's not an open bar, it's a cash bar. Well, I'm pulling a 20 out on that.
Really?
Yeah. If the cocktail hour is really no food, there's another 20 out of there.
This is fascinating.
I had no idea.
But by the time it's over, Joe has an IOU in the envelope. you can send your payment to me here for me spending my time. Here's my bank routing number.
No, you know what you get? A touching card.
Yeah. But I always would go to, I always make sure I give enough money that's appropriate to what's going on.
Did you just hear that Freudian slip? He goes, I always go to a funeral wedding.
I did not hear that. I don't like what Joe does there either. I don't where you're taking money out. Although for my wedding, after what transpired, there should have been extra 20s going in.
Oh, yeah, there should have.
Hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
The therapy that my wife needs.
Oh, my God, yes.
No, but I don't listen, you give what you can. That's the way I look at it. I have family members who are like, they're like, well, what did they give you? And then they're like, you give that. I'm not really like that either. Like I said, I give what I can. I don't need to give the most,
right?
But I don't want to be cheap,
right? But also, there are people who think in terms of you have to cover your plate.
Yeah.
So you try to find out how much are they spending on you, and you give that back.
Well,
to
in
them.
The invitation, shouldn't you respond? Who's the caterer?
Yeah, really.
Well,
really.
What entertainment company? Will there be a DJ or a band? Oh, a band. Joe's like, all right, it's going to be another 20.
Oh, here's another. Yeah, right.
It depends. Like, I went to a friend's wedding back in July, and I feel like, all right, to be a gentleman that day, I gave $150.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so, because I feel, you feel all right, that's the gentlemanly thing to do. But, but sometimes I've gone to family weddings. And sometimes it's like you're so used to a wedding on Long Island that you go to another because it's always a big affair. But if you go somewhere else, sometimes it's not up to the standard you think it would be.
Yeah, like you're expecting a catering hall and you walk into the VFW. It happens.
Yeah.
Because that's what some people can afford. And it's not, in retrospect, we probably should not have had the big wedding. That's always what you look back on. Mm-hmm. We could have used that money towards a house.
Yeah.
But we had a very big wedding.
You had a really big wedding.
Not by Jewish standards. Not like by Brooklyn Jews where they shut down blocks.
No.
But we had a few hundred. That's true. That's true. They're dancing in the streets. COVID be damned.
Wow.
But no, we had a couple hundred people there.
Yeah, you had a lot.
We had a lot. We had the band. We had the open bar because we didn't want to look over at the gift table and see Joe sticking his little grubby mitts back in the envelope.
That was a great wedding. No. You got full envelope, my friend.
Full envelope. Really, that's all anybody in the family could ask for is full envelope. Joe, he respects our efforts. We got full envelope.
Yeah, it's not like, that chicken sucked. I'm going to grab this gravy boat and go.
You see some weddings, Joe just leaves like 3/4. I guess they didn't like the macaroni, the Kraft macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets. It did not meet Joe's standards.
No, I'm a gentleman when I go.
I'm a gentleman. You owe me for this.
We'll be the judge of that.
I don't think you can uninvite the family.
Oh no.
I think you let your fiance know. I don't like
that's
this.
Bad. Yeah. That's a bad move. Sorry.
Yeah, but you're gonna start with bad blood right from the get.
And I don't like the registry either. I know why it's important, but I don't like the whole theory of like, here's what I want.
Well, what? Some people have no idea what you want, and you get crap. And so it's like, thanks for leading me in the direction.
I get it.
But when people put on the registry stuff that's so expensive,
then you go in with a couple people. You could go in.
Yeah, no, you can. But sometimes they do, like, everything's too expensive. So you can't, make it something reasonable.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to invest in Elon Musk so we can all give full envelope. Scamming scammers when we come back.
This is Davin's Den. This
is Davin's Den.
You're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. It's been a fun show.
Yay.
Yes.
Enjoying the topics. All right. Let's do some scamming scammers with Elon Musk here. Here we go.
Millions of people fall prey to internet scammers every year. When the scammers reach out to us, we scam them back. So join us for Davin's Den Scams the Scammer.
All right, so we're going to pick up with Elon from March 29th of 2023. To catch you guys up, Elon Musk, the real Elon Musk, not really, is wants me to invest in his company, and fake Davin is not very impressed with him. And fake Davin has his own ideas about what Elon should be doing. So with that in mind, we will pick up on from March 29th of 2023. He says, "Hello there, sir." Then I don't respond quickly enough, you know, 4 hours later. "Good morning, sir. How are you feeling?" "Well, dude, you're messaging me at 1:10 a.m., so I'm not feeling..." Get some sleep, Elon. So at 10, I respond, "Good morning." He asks how I'm doing. I go, "Busy. How are you?" He goes, "Am good." Again, no I, but yeah. He's South African, so who knows. But anyway, "Am good. What are you doing, sir, if I may ask? Work-related things, hiring, talent, and the sort." Must have been booking a show for Zai's Winning Productions.
Right.
He says, "Okay." I go, "Have you ever thought of being a comedian?" I said that to Elon.
Oh.
He goes, "I suppose you know why I texted you, sir. I don't want it to seem like I'm needy." Remember I told him that he's needy?
Yeah. Yes.
"But I want to keep you updated. I don't want to waste your time, so please don't waste mine." That's what I'm here for.
I'll look forward.
"Very soon I'll be going public about few fans I let invest in any of my company." I go, "I'm too busy to waste time." That is a bit insulting.
It is.
He goes, "I want you to be part of it, sir. I'm sorry if you feel that way, sir. Didn't mean to. Time is precious and valuable, and time is money, and who doesn't want money? Who doesn't want..."
Singing my song.
Exactly. I go, "It's okay. We are both busy people. Who can't be bothered by unserious people? We're both busy people." That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I get. I was hearing it wrong.
That's unserious people. You're scamming me, and I'm doing a spot for a show.
Two serious people at their jobs, Joe.
Yes, working hard.
Noted.
So he goes, "So I urge you to start your investment now, sir." I go, "It appears my financial investor has vanished."
Financial advisor?
Yes, but I put investor, but he didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
With it is most of my money. "The other option I have is to discuss this with my girlfriend and see if she will loan me some money for this. However, you said to keep this discreet, so I'm not sure what to do."
Good point.
He goes, "Well, I don't want to cause you confusion with your girlfriend, and I won't ask you to lie and be dishonest. You could tell her if that's the only way for you, but don't mention me, sir. Just tell her it's for an investment. Don't mention that you're talking to Elon Musk on Instagram for this great investment idea. Please don't do that."
Because this will blow... the Musk and an eBay.
"My whole house of cards will come crumbling down.
Because I'm guessing she's the brains in your operation."
Right?
I go, "Ellie, the only reason I'm considering this is because it's you. I can't tell my girlfriend some random weirdo on Instagram wants my money for some unknown company that we should do it. I need to tell her who the weirdo is."
You're not wrong.
No. He goes, "Well, that's okay, but a little bit rude. Either way, do what you must, sir. You have my respect." I go, "I did not mean that as it came out." I did.
Yeah.
"My apologies." Not really. But you know what I mean. The internet is filled with weirdos, hustlers, and scammers. If I just tell her it is some internet dude, she'll think I'm a dummy. If I mention you, well, it has a bit more gravitas.
True.
And he liked that comment. He go, "Oh, right, it's okay. Then do what you must, sir. I believe in you." Probably more than I believe in him.
Yeah, I would hope.
"Good. I will discuss it with her. It really is up to her, as my financial advisor seems to have stolen $253,918.26.
That's very specific.
And full envelope. From me. Currently, I am destitute. Hopefully, my girlfriend will see this as the opportunity is to help me recover from this horrible hardship I suddenly find myself in. She goes, wow, that's a lot of money. Well, I suppose this is an opportunity for you to make up for what's stolen from you. So here's this guy. I've just lost all this money. He's like, nope, we could still steal some more.
Wow. Yeah, how heartless.
Yeah, well, that's what I've set up there.
Yeah.
He could go, you know what, maybe now's not the time. He's like, no, you seem like you lose your money quickly. This will be fine.
Let's double down.
I go, yes, but I really need this to pan out. I feel such shame, and now I have no money. Not to put pressure on you, but if this does not work out exactly as promised, I will have nothing, and my girlfriend will not respect me either. At that point, I think I will kill myself.
Wow.
I'm upping the ante. Like, wow, this really has to work out, fake Elon. Yeah. Like, I can't have you just steal my money.
Right.
Right.
He goes, please don't say that. I guarantee you, sir, it will go as planned.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you devil.
Yeah.
That's really sick, though. Really, that, I mean, you're saying, you know, if this really doesn't go my way, I might be so desperate I'll kill myself. And he's like rubbing his hands together.
What's another death on the internet?
Yeah, who cares?
It goes to show you that they have no soul. They're soulless people. They're awful.
That gives me chills.
I go, I hope so. I couldn't handle the financial ruin and the lack of respect for my girlfriend and losing her money, too. It would be too much. He goes, I won't allow such thing to happen, sir. I'll tell you what, if things go south, which it won't, I'll personally refund your money back. I'll personally refund you back your money, if that would make you feel better, sir.
Oh, man.
If you're going to
That is such a red flag. You know, look, I know the people that are, you know, taken by this are not emotionally sound, but this is such a blatant red flag that, oh, well, you'll get your money back. Really? That's time to go.
Yeah, like all the nothing but I get amazing returns with no risk.
When you talk to a real financial advisor, a real one, not one you find on the internet, they're not going to tell you there's no risk and you're guaranteed to make money.
Never.
And your gains if you're doing well are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%.
Yeah.
If you're doing well, there's going to be years where you lose. They never promise stuff like this.
No.
So to Joe's point, this is all a red flag.
Huge red flag.
But I'm going to blow through it.
Yeah.
He goes, you are welcome, sir. And little advice, the more amount you invest, the more profits get back, sir. You can make back the money you lost within 48 hours. I assure you that, sir. So he wants more money. He don't care.
No, he's like, give me as much as you got, because within 48 hours.
And
48 hours.
And this is why I do what I do.
Yeah.
These are bad people.
They're very bad people.
Yeah.
I go, so your suggestion is to convince my girlfriend to give me all of her money for this investment?
Yeah.
He goes, no, sir, that's what I mean. Not what I mean. All right, what do you mean here?
Huh.
I go, what do you mean? He goes, since it's risk-free, I suggest if you invest more, you get more of you invest. And not asking you to invest all of her money, sir. It's all up to you and her, sir. Not all of it. Not all of it.
Leave a couple of bucks for a sandwich.
Yeah, you're going to need to keep the internet on, so I tell my friends. I go, right, but this seems almost too good to be true. Your generosity and concern for other human beings truly is a thing to behold. And he likes that comment.
Of course.
He goes, wow, you think so? He goes, well, I'm not God. Just want to have good impact in the world, sir.
Oh.
I go, how could I not? You see that I am in a terrible place and suicidal, and like an angel, you will lift me up. You should get a medal or something.
Oh, my God.
And you like that kind of what?
Of course. Yeah, but
you're
an
inspiration to us all.
Yes.
Just such a terrible person on the other end.
Not a great one on this end either. But anyway, he goes, well, thanks, sir. So have you spoken with your girlfriend? This is later on the day. I go, not yet. He goes, okay. Well, I don't want to rush you, so take your time. But I must say, you have to make it quick, sir. I don't want to rush you, but make it quick.
No rush, but hurry up.
I don't want you to fall, but here's a shove. I go, you just said don't rush, but make it quick. Is that something that will be possible with time travel? Because remember, I talked to him about time travel. He goes, yeah, you're right. Just do you, sir. Sorry. I go, thanks, Ellie. He goes, you're welcome. How much time we got, Pitt?
We got 1 minute.
All right, that's a good place to, I think that's a good place to end it right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you guys think?
What a bastard.
Very interesting, but it just seems how cold and cruel and uncaring these people are.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time that we're seeing he's really, I mean, he's heartless. He's a scammer.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just really just despicable.
Really terrible.
Yeah. All right. Joe, what do you got going on? What do you have going, Joe?
Thursday, September 14th, I'll be headlining Mohegan Sun.
Look how Joe has to drop in the headlining. I'll be headlining.
Yes. So at Comics Roadhouse, show is going to be 10 p.m. Go to tickets at comicsroadhouse.com. That is comicsroadhouse.com. Then Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th, I will be with Adam Ferrara down at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. Dial 1-877-Uncle-VIN. Or go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com for tickets. Those two shows are at 9 o'clock each night. If you're in Jersey, come on down.
Friday, September 22nd, I'll be in Washingtonville, New York at the Washingtonville Knights of Columbus, raising money for the Washingtonville Youth Football and Cheer. For tickets, email Erin at WashingtonvilleWizards.com. Erin at WashingtonvilleWizards.com. And Saturday, September 23rd, I will be in Rahway, New Jersey at the Lafayette Lodge, the Masonic Hall, 1550 Irving Street in Rahway, New Jersey. That's where I'll be, back in Rahway at the Masonic Hall. For tickets, call 732-715-1567. So it has been a fun show. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.